Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the Silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we pray and hope that you and your families are doing well and are in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we are back once again. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He has provided us with, for all the blessings that He has bestowed upon us in every situation, in every circumstances of life. We always should show thanks and gratitude to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always send salawat upon our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today we have yet another beautiful topic of discussion, and that is the power of words. And to discuss this beautiful topic with me, I have in studio our honorable and respected guest, none other than Mawlana Abdul Qadir Attari, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, Sayyidi and yourself.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, mashallah, mashallah. Well, Mawlana Sahib, alhamdulillah, we do have a very beautiful topic of discussion. And that is the power of words. You know, how much of weight does, when one says something, how much of weight that holds, the words which one uses, how much of weight that holds. And inshallah, in this topic, we will be discussing many different aspects and angles in relation to this beautiful topic, inshallah. But before that, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, because your recitation of salawat upon me will be a nur, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ala Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today inshallah we are going to dive into something that literally shapes our world, and that is words, the power that they carry, the wisdom that they can reflect, and sometimes the damage that they can cause. We as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the ability to speak. Allah ta'ala granted this ability in human beings. We have to question ourselves, what are we doing with this tongue of ours? Are we using it to heal someone? Are we using it, or are we using it to break someone? Because this tongue can either break someone, shatter someone, or it can uplift someone. When you say something good to someone, it can uplift them, and that one statement that you made to them, that one statement of positivity, can change the rest of their lives for the better. And on the other hand, you may say something bad. You may say something that will hurt them, that will break them. And you never know. Their lives might change for the worse, not for the better. So this tongue of ours that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we should use it in the right way and not abuse it. Because the tongue is something that doesn't have a bone, but yet it can still shatter and break someone's heart. No. Compared to a weapon may just injure someone and cause a wound, and then through time, as time goes, that wound may close up. But when someone says something with their tongue, something bad which can break the other person's heart, then although it may be broken, and even if you put it up together, it's like dropping a glass, you pick up the pieces, you put them all together, but still the traces will be left there. Likewise with the heart, you may break someone's heart, but the traces of it will still remain there. So inshallah, today, this is what we are going to discuss, the power of words, that when you articulate them, in which energy, what energy are you using to articulate the words that are coming out from your mouth? Are you using it for positivity, or are you using it for negativity? Are you using it to make someone, or are you using it to break someone, to put someone down? So, Murasab, alhamdulillah, this is a very wide topic, right? And we know that words, they do hold weight. If we look throughout history, right, there have been so many speeches been made by different leaders that have changed the course, you know, that have made history and have made an impact on people. And one beautiful example that truly, truly stands out, in which there is no comparison to a speech of that nature, and that is the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he gave on the farewell sermon that he gave. This speech, Masab, it has, you know, touched the lives of so many human beings that just by listening to the farewell sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many people accepted Islam, so many people changed their mindset, so many people changed their lives. And how did this happen? It is because of the impact of the sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it even moved their hearts. It penetrated and it went directly into their hearts, and that is what made people to change for the better. Now, Munasab, in this farewell sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are some notable highlights in the sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words he chose, the words he used that had made an impact on society, on people, on community?
Subhanallah. As we all know, one of the core mission of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of his arrival, is to refine and perfect our character.
Right.
And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his farewell sermon as well, he laid down the foundation and the constitutional rights of people according to Islam. Subhanallah. And he very beautifully articulated those words that became the constitution of Islam, so to say.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually, he had broken down many social evils that were there.
Allah, Allah.
Subhanallah, such as pride.
Right.
He condemned pride during his farewell sermon. And the people used to have this sense of superiority that we Arabs, we are better than non-Arabs,
right,
and so on. He broke that myth. That there is no such thing.
Subhanallah.
Whether you are an Arab or you are non-Arab, no matter which language you speak, it doesn't have any role in your superiority, right? And then some people used to think that, you know, we are white-skinned, we are better than people who are dark-skinned. That myth was also broken.
Subhanallah.
He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that there is no such thing in Islam. But the only criterion is how much piety do you have? How much taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do you have? On the basis of that, it will be decided who's better and who's worse. So if you had, let's say, all these traits, you came from noble family, you were fair skin, you your Arabic was fluent and eloquent.
Right.
Despite having all of that, but your character was evil.
Ah.
So it basically defeats the purpose.
Exactly.
Hmm.
I mean, look at Abu Jahl, what kind of background he came from.
Right.
Right. But his character, the path he chose,
mm-hmm.
was the evil.
Right.
And look at his end result, Allahu Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
That he was one of the greatest enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at Abu Lahab. He is even mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala condemns him in the Holy Quran. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab.
Allah.
And when they would speak harshly. And the same people that were in the same locality, they ran away from the likes of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. And subhanAllah, they accepted the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who always spoke sweet words.
SubhanAllah.
Who always SubhanAllah. Greeted with a smile. SubhanAllah. And he was that noble personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he met with the elders, he was respectful. When he was with the children, he was compassionate. SubhanAllah. There are many accounts as to how compassionate was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the people. If somebody asked him for anything, he wouldn't rebuke them and go from here.
Mm.
It was never heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that the Sahaba say, we never heard the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying no to anyone when somebody asked for something.
Allah.
And when it comes to subhanAllah, the prophetic teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you were saying, in his ahadith, subhanAllah, some of his ahadith are known as, and he was, subhanAllah, given this ability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was called Jawami'ul Kalim.
Oh, Jawami'ul Kalim.
Yes, to speak few words, but the meaning is enormous. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
Like, for example, somebody asked for advice, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, only one word, La taqbal. Do not get angry.
Right.
SubhanAllah. And sometimes the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, innama al-amalu bil-niyyat. Few words are very few.
Right.
But subhanAllah, its implication, its practical application is so vast.
Right.
Allahu Akbar. And then the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to also say that treat your neighbors with goodness. These are a few words.
And these words, they hold so much of weight in them.
Yes.
That gives such a broad and vast meaning, as you were saying.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like that, there are so many ahadith where it's just few words. In one hadith, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he who believes in Allah azza wa jalla and on the day of judgment,
right,
you must either say something good or stay quiet.
SubhanAllah.
Look at so much of wisdom there. If you have something good to say it in a beautiful way.
Right.
But if you don't have anything nice to say,
then remain silent.
Yes, that's better.
SubhanAllah.
And like that, he, subhanAllah, would transform the lives of people. And the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best words after the Holy Quran, are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith, subhanAllah. Yes. And after that are the words of those who were inspired by the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the Sahaba ikram. Those ahadith are called athar, subhanAllah. They have major importance, they hold major importance in our deen. SubhanAllah, the aqwal of Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the aqwal of the tabi'een of those Sahaba. SubhanAllah. Look at this. You know, the best of words, the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the glorious Quran. Thereafter, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, the hadith and the aqwal of those who were inspired by the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Holy Quran. And then there are those who were inspired by the speeches of the Holy Quran, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the aqwal of Sahaba.
SubhanAllah.
This is a whole chain. If we need to learn how to articulate our words properly, how to say things in a proper manner.
Right.
I mean, this is an art in itself. Right?
Ji.
It shouldn't be the case that, you know, you're talking to a child and you speak to him in a language, like you start exploring the laws of physics with a child.
Right.
It will go above his head, right?
Correct.
For example.
Mm-hmm.
So this is against the common logic. Then you are speaking to the elderly. And instead of being respectful, you are being all jovial with them. Like, you know, like how you would behave with a child.
Right.
That's also inappropriate.
Yes.
And then you are in the circle of your friends and you are being all professional. That's also not appropriate for the time. There's a time and place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the etiquette of conversation, subhanallah, and the implication of words and how to articulate them, how to use them in the right place, it is an art in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he would speak, subhanallah. It is mentioned in the hadith of Mubarakah that the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would be calculated. They would be short but sweet, subhanallah. And he wouldn't speak in a very loud tone. No, he would speak with a tone that the next person can't hear.
Ah.
But it would be moderate.
Subhanallah.
And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would speak calmly and he would articulate each and every syllable and word properly so the listener can listen to it properly and get a full understanding of what he's saying. Sometimes when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to address important matters, then he would repeat his words thrice. Something that holds a lot of importance.
Right.
So these were some of the etiquettes of conversation that we are taught from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should implement it in our lives. I mean, look at the person, for example, you are somewhere and life happens. And we indulge in a conversation and in a daily life. So we meet people on a daily basis.
Right.
The words are our gateway of interaction.
Uh-huh.
It starts with the greeting.
It opens the doors.
Yes.
Right.
Otherwise, how would you know what's in somebody's hearts? Words are a way to express what's here.
Subhanallah, what's here. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Otherwise, if it wasn't for words, how would we express?
Yes.
So it is a figure of expression. And if our words are not calculated, if our words are just left to run wild without any control over the words,
right,
as to what we're saying, how we're saying it, then yes, we'll be hurting a lot of people, left, right and center. And like how in the childhood, like our children, for example, they don't have any, let's say, discretion.
Right.
Children, they don't know discretion. If they don't like something, I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you on your face, I don't like you. Right?
Straight to the point.
Exactly. So they don't know any discretion. Then as parents, we'll teach them when is the right place to say what to say. And you know, like that, we train them, you know, we teach them discretion.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that you should say in front of whom? For example, family matters, right? Something that should stay in the family.
Right.
Don't go and discuss it with other people. Mm-hmm. For example, these kind of things.
Gee.
And that's how we learn.
Mm.
And we grow up and we learn every day.
Subhanallah.
Every day is an opportunity for us to learn.
Yeah. And to better oneself as well.
Exactly. And implement what we learn. For example, a person who, let's say there's, you need to take a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
Or the driver is there. And you go to him and say, hey, you, I need to go to this place here. Right. How would he behave with you?
He would be stubborn.
Exactly. And if you went, excuse me, I need to go to this place. Would you please take me there?
So one thing can be said in two different ways.
Exactly.
If you say something as in the form of a request to the driver, and I say something as in the form of commanding or ordering, and he would take the form in which you said it, that would be more appealing to him than how I would present it.
Yes, and then he would have a picture of you. You know, first impression is the last impression.
Right.
The first impression would tell him that you are a rude person.
Hmm.
You have no respect for anyone.
Right.
So he will also speak to you in the same manner, tit for tat.
Ah.
Because he also got a tongue.
Yeah, yeah. And and that way, it's a human reaction to respond in that way.
Yes. And to the second type of tone you have taken and you requested him, although it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Just said in a different way.
Right.
With different words. And you told him, excuse me, could you please take me to this place? You still pay him the same fare.
Right.
Everything remains the same, but his perception changes about you.
This is the change of wordings.
Yes. He may even be helpful if you tell him politely. Mm-hmm. He will even help you with your luggage. Come, you got any luggage with you? Let me help you. And if you told him abruptly like that, you load your own luggage. You see?
Right.
So, alhamdulillah, the words, they carry power. And we need to learn how to use them in the right place at the right time. And it depends to whom we are talking to and to take what kind of tone with whom. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, like for example, pets, we have pets.
Right?
Many of us, we have pets, cats and other pets. Now, you can't really talk to the pets, right?
Right.
So you make some sounds. Right? You call the cat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call the cat by using your words, but you make some sounds, right? Vocal sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be indication for you to, it's your way of
communicating
with the cat,
right.
With your pet, right? For example. But if you were to use the same language with people.
Oh, it wouldn't work at all. They would think, what is wrong with you?
So different strokes for different folks.
Mm.
So words are also like that. I mean, we need to be very well calculated. We need to gain some, you know, emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
This is also a field we must look into.
Yeah.
IQ is something else. EQ is something else. Right? So IQ is how sharp you are, how intellectual you are. No matter how much intellect do you have, but if you don't understand emotions,
you can't win.
Exactly.
You can't entirely win.
Exactly. So you need to understand certain emotions, certain temperament. Like a person who got a very hot temperament.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't go and he's already on a short fuse. You wouldn't want to go and spark something that would blow up, right?
Not at all.
So you would know, okay, how to now talk to this kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's somebody who's always happy-go-lucky, you know?
Right.
And alhamdulillah, you can just in a friendly manner, you can relate to him.
Yeah.
Get by. And then there's somebody who's always prim and proper, professional etiquette and so on. That person, when you speak to, you use the same well-calculated language, make sure your grammar is proper. Otherwise, instead of paying attention to what you're saying, he'll start paying attention to correct your sentences, for example.
Pronunciations,
right?
And all of that.
Exactly. So there are, well, many ways to get your point across. And subhanAllah, words are the gateway to our feelings, our emotions, our thought process. Whether you are writing those words or you are articulating them with your tongue. We need to know when to say it, what to say, and how to say it.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That was really, really inspiring there, Munasab. And we have just heard Munasab elaborating on this part, how words are so effective, the way you articulate your words, you know, in your approach in mentioning something, as Munasab has given the example in which one thing can be said in two ways. One can be said in an abrupt way, and one can be said in an appealing way. So we should take this also into consideration to win over the hearts of other fellow Muslims, of other people. Do you want to win over someone's heart? Make sure how you are saying and what you are saying is appealing to them. Munasab has mentioned also the farewell sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how it had such an impact. And together with all of this, if we have to look at our daily life, right, we may come across our friend, we may come across our brother, perhaps we see maybe one of our friends or one of our siblings or whoever we know, we see them that maybe they are feeling down today, you know, maybe something didn't go right, however they want. By you saying to them that, you know what, whatever happened, don't worry about it, I believe in you. Just this one statement of yours, I believe in you, that will change the entire perspective of everything that had transpired already. That will change the way they're already thinking. that will now give them a boost into a more positive light. And you'd be surprised that when they get this boost, they achieve more than what they actually expect to achieve. So simple words, nothing big. There's nothing big about it. It's the simple, simple, small things in life. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. I love you. To your parents, to your siblings, to your spouse. All of these words, they hold weight and they matter. They have an impact. Saying to someone that, you know what, brother, you matter. That it's only two. You matter. Only two words. That alone has an impact on that person's life. Suppose he was going through some downsides of life and you told him that you matter. That alone will pick him up, will give him that boost. So this is what we need to do. We need to spread positivity. We need to articulate our words in the right way. Now, wisdom in words, it does not start with speaking. It starts with first listening. That's the first step. You got to listen really well to someone in order to understand them and in order to see where they are coming from. Also, the art of listening, right, which is also inclusive of this topic that we are discussing today, the power of words. Right, so far we have discussed the weight of words, the impact that they have on others. Now, when it comes to the art of listening to someone, Masab, what can be said in this regard when it comes to listening to someone? Because some people you may get that they don't really want to listen to you and they may just want to cut you off, Masab.
Alhamdulillah, see, you know, it's a two-way street.
Right.
You know, one-way road, right? And it's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Conversation is always two ways.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not a conversation at all.
It's just one way.
It's just some rambling or ranting.
Right.
Right. For example, or it's just a lecture you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a conversation. Conversation happens when both the parties, they give each other a chance to have their say.
Like, hear me out.
Yes. And to have themselves heard. One of the core principles of conversation, there are basically two things,
mm-hmm.
two components of the conversation. One is making yourself heard, and the other is hearing the next person.
Two things.
Give and take.
Okay. Right.
So when you're giving somebody something, there are always two hands involved. The hand that is giving, the hand that is taking.
Right.
In a conversation, it's the same principle. Give and you are exchanging words. You are exchanging thoughts. You are exchanging your concerns, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
And here is a person who wouldn't let you even start your sentence. Anytime you want to say something, no, but listen to me. This, that, and blah, blah.
Right.
You can carry on. And then, in a few moments, you lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
You're not interested. So why must I even listen?
Right.
Right. Because these are our senses.
Mm-hmm.
These are our words, our hearing. And then we develop selective hearing.
Mm.
You only listen to what matters to you.
Right.
Why you want to lend your ears to something that is of no benefit to you? Because that person is not prepared to listen to you in the first place. So a large part of the conversation is making yourself heard,
mm-hmm.
and hearing the next person at the same time.
Also, when a person listens like attentively,
yes.
when a person listens well,
mm.
then they also learn what needs to be said in that process, in that time. They also learn about that by listening correctly.
Exactly. And it develops some sort of compassion between the two parties.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm talking and that brother is listening.
Mm-hmm.
MashaAllah. And sometimes before, you know, sometimes a lot of your concerns are already answered when you listen.
Yes.
Maybe you didn't have to say that particular thing, and the person when he's talking, the next person he's talking, he already resolved your issues. You didn't have to open your mouth. You
didn't have to say anything.
Exactly.
And most often it does happen like that.
Yes. And this is part of our conversation. And I remember the great Mufti of Dawat Islam.
Mm-hmm.
He is known as Mufti of Dawat Islami. The Mufti of Dawat Islami. We must know who he is. SubhanAllah. He is late now. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him high abode in Jannatul Firdaus. And that was known about Mufti of Dawat Islami that, the whole board of members, they are sitting there and they're all having their own opinion and so on. When they all finish, have their say, he would be the last person to speak. And he was a man of few words. SubhanAllah. So, when a person talks less and listens more, there's more wisdom.
They would know how to respond rather than react.
Yes. Uh-huh. And SubhanAllah, and when they've heard everyone say, why is the judge in that position and the advocates that are there, that are fighting the case, they are on the other side of the fence. The judge has the last say. The last to speak. He's only hearing, listening.
Yeah.
And SubhanAllah, from this etiquette of Mufti Dawat Islami, rahimahullah ta'ala, we learn that a leader leads by example.
Yes.
A leader is always the last person to eat, a true leader.
Mm-hmm.
Last one to eat, he will first focus on everybody, all the guests, or whoever that may be. Is everybody eaten? Has everyone, got what they needed? Now, if everything is done, then now I can eat.
Yes. True leader.
Yeah, true leader. And a true leader is always also the last person to speak. He will first listen to everybody's concern. What is it that you wanted to say? Let me hear from you. Long time I've never heard from you. And you will hear, all right, okay. And then you'll bring everything to conclusion. SubhanAllah. So people whose words are known to be wise and full of wisdom, you will see they wouldn't talk much. Like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Yes.
He wasn't a very talkative person. But when he spoke, SubhanAllah, wisdom flowed from his tongue.
SubhanAllah.
So Alhamdulillah. These are some of the examples from which we can learn that inshallah these are the etiquettes of Islam, Islamic values, the words that we say every day, they have power. They have, a certain vibe to them. Like everything in this universe, they are operating at a certain frequency.
Right.
The words also have a certain frequency. And SubhanAllah, the words that we say, that if somebody injures you with a spear, that wound can heal.
Right.
But the wound that we cause with our tongue will never heal.
Allahu Akbar. How true is that, huh? Allah.
So, the tongue is a very dangerous tool.
SubhanAllah, Ma'asab. The art of listening, it may not be easy for some people. And obviously, one step at a time, they would have to practice this in order, if they want to know how to respond, how to speak, then obviously they would have to first listen in order to know how to respond. And when you do that, then you would find how people become so attached to you, how people start having a liking towards you. Why? Because you lend them your ear. You give them an ear to listen to. They got someone who they can tell their issues, tell their problems, tell their concerns to. And you are paying attention to them. And when you pay attention to them, you learn what needs to be said. And once you learn what needs to be said, that proves to be effective and it has an impact not only on their minds, but it has an impact on their hearts as well. So, the first one was how words have weight. And Mu'asab has shed light on that. And the second was that in order to respond, we have to know the art of listening, because this is inclusive as well. Now, when in life it happens, sometimes it happens by the slip of the tongue that we may say something that we regret later on. Sometimes we may say something in anger, in a sarcastic way, backbiting against someone, telling someone off, insulting someone, saying something in a way which wasn't appealing, abruptly saying something. It may have happened to too many of us. What do we do in such a situation? What do we do then? Do we say that, do we have this ego that, no, it was not my fault, I didn't do anything wrong. I said it how it was supposed to be said. Or do we own up to that? Because by not owning up to that, that is weakness. And Masab, if such people own up to it, apologizing, realizing where they went wrong, admitting it and owning up to it, that wouldn't be a sign of weakness. Rather, it will be a sign of strength.
You are portraying yourself as a responsible person, 100%. That you are taking accountability of your own actions.
Right. And you're not letting that just slide. You're owning up to it.
Yes.
And when that happens, people actually see that, you know what, this is a man. You know, this is a leader. He may have said something out of anger. Later on, he regretted it. He came back to us. He told us, sorry, I apologize, and I'm taking responsibility for it. That will automatically change everything. They would not have a hatred towards him anymore. They would not dislike him anymore. Rather, they would end up coming more and more closer to him.
Yes.
And all of the views of Madani Channel, you know, if you want to learn how to speak, in which way to speak, when not to speak, we have to learn the beautiful seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Munasab has highlighted a few accounts from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he would speak, that it wasn't too, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't speak too loud, nor too soft, but moderately. If there was an important matter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would emphasize on that important matter three times, so that everyone that would be seated there, they remember that and they act upon that. This was the beautiful speech, the beautiful conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whilst we are speaking about our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us also go and rejuvenate our heart, mind, body and soul in the love of our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by listening to a very beautiful kalam. And inshallah, we will be back thereafter to discuss further on in this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madine jaane walo, jao jao fi amanillah. Madine jaane walo, jao jao fi amanillah. کبھی تو اپنا بھی لگ جائے گا بستر مدینے میں نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو بلائیں گے تمہیں بھی ایک دن سرور مدینے میں سرور مدینے میں سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی مدینے میں ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی ہو کرم جو بندے پر banda parvari hogi
banda parvari ho
sochta hu main wo ghadi kya jab ghadi hogi jab dare nabi par hum sab ki hazri hogi saba itni kyun muattar hai baat kya hai baade saba itni kyun muattar hai sabz sabz gumbad ko chum kar chali hogi سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی بلا لو ہم غریبوں کو بلا لو اے میرے آقا میں آؤں آپ کے در پر کرم ہو اے
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان الله سبحان الله what a beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم may Allah سبحانه وتعالى grant us all the complete love of his beloved Habib صلى الله عليه وسلم and grant us all the ability and tawfiq to implement the sunnahs of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in our lives amin ya rabbal alamin Well, dear viewers of Madani Channel, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing the power of words. The power, you know, that words have. And so far, Mullah Sahib has shed much light on the weight that words carry, the impact that they have, the art of listening. And when you say something abrupt, when you articulate something in the wrong way, which may hurt another person, then own up to that, take responsibility of that, as Mohan Sahib has mentioned. And these are all qualities of a good leader, to own up to your mistakes. And this will actually bring more people closer to you. So alhamdulillah, we have discussed many aspects, many different angles with regards to power in words, the power that words have. And now inshallah, we will shed some light on, you know, some examples, words that we can use, words that heal, you know, giving compliments, encouragements, words of motivation, giving du'as, etc. All of this, it uplifts a person. We should at least try, you know, at least once a day, say at least one sentence or one word, one statement that may uplift another person. At least one every day. Try doing this. And through that, you would see yourself being uplifted, because at the end of the day, we all want to be better human beings. We all want to be better Muslims. We all want to be better believers. And this is one of the way, our approach to others, especially when it comes to our words, this matters a lot. As Mohan Sahib has shed light on, there'll be one statement, and that statement can be said in two different ways. One can be appealing, one can be abrupt. We have to choose wisely how we articulate our words. And we have to choose the path, the way, which is appealing to others. So, Murasa, what are some examples in this regard in which a person can use their words wisely and in a way that will have a positive impact on others? Well, what are some examples, Marcel?
Starting with, you know, children, sometimes how we talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
We want their true potential to be brought up.
Right.
They must grow up to their full potential.
Mm-hmm.
For example, my son, I sometimes tell him, okay, go and do this, or go do some programming, some coding. He's quite young, 11 years.
Right.
So sometimes he feels intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is so hard. How can I do it? And I tell him, it's not that hard. I know you can.
MashaAllah. Words of encouragement and motivation.
Exactly. And I say, no, you can, but I can't. I said, if I can, so can you.
SubhanAllah.
There's nothing special about me. I also learned it. There was a time, there was a point in time when I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Today I know, and I want you to learn it as well.
Right.
There's nothing difficult about it. And then, okay, he'll want like a starting point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell him, all right, why don't you start here? I'll give him something very basic.
Right.
Right. And then he'll go and do that basic. And then I'll tell him, see, wasn't that difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll say, yes, I can do it.
SubhanAllah.
So sometimes you can bring in the best in people using your words, by encouraging them.
Right.
And sometimes you can bring the worst in people by your words.
Both ways.
For example, somebody is there, you gave him some task, or somebody wanted to do, maybe start a business, and you went, oh, you know, businesses are going down nowadays. You must know what you're doing.
Right.
I wish you good luck. Right? As if you are threatening that individual.
Right.
So before he even has the thought, he came with so much of positive vibes to you.
Passion and
yes,
everything.
And he gave you the good news that how he's planning to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then you shot it down right from the get-go. Right. That person lost all motivation.
I mean, he could have grown into something big.
Exactly. Whereas if he came and you said, MashaAllah, you are wanting to start something, MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant an increase in your rizq. I make dua and I wish that you succeed in life. And if you have some practical tips, if you are also a businessman, let's say,
mm-hmm.
you can give him, all right, okay, there are certain things to watch out for.
Uh-huh.
Just do X, Y, and Z and you'll be good to go, inshallah.
Some advice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you gave him, what are some of the pitfalls, but you told him in a very positive way.
Right.
And you gave him a solution for it as well at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's even more motivated now. I know the learning curve, there is some learning curve there, but I know how to come up around it. Right.
Right.
There is an example. There was a king. He saw a dream. And the interpretation of his dream, I mean, one dream can only have one interpretation, right?
Right.
There can't be many interpretations. Mm-hmm. Either it's positive or negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the interpretation of his dream was very negative. So many interpreters, they came. He called in one interpreter of the dream. And he said, you know, the dream you saw, what it means? It means that all your loved ones will die. That's what it means. Your whole family will die.
Allah.
So he was very disturbed by that. And he didn't like the response.
Right.
So he had him executed. Right?
Sure.
And then the next interpreter came. Said, okay, you can interpret the dream. So he learned from the mistake of the previous guy.
Right.
So he said, actually, it's a very good dream.
Oh.
Yes. And, you know, this dream means that you will outlive your entire family.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Right? You will have a long life.
Right.
So the king got happy. He gave him rewards. But it was the same thing, said very differently.
Same dream. Yes. Interpretation same, but said in a more appealing kind of way.
Yes, one was very discouraging and negative way.
Right.
And the other was in a very positive way. So, and we see the outcome. So, two things said differently, had different implications. And subhanAllah, this is just an example for us to learn a thing or two from there. That, yes, the words we say, they have a certain effect. Some people, they will enter the room and they will say things that will fill the whole atmosphere with negative energy, negative vibe. Everybody will start to feel like their energy has been sapped.
Right.
Gone into a black hole. And then sometimes a person will come inside and he will say things which will fill that entire atmosphere and environment with a positive charge. Subhanallah. And you feel enlightened. You know, you feel enlightened and you feel spiritually uplifted. Subhanallah. After, let's say, for example, when Nigrani Shura comes, when Haji Abdul Habib Sahib comes, subhanallah, when they give their words of wisdom, they give you hope.
Definitely. Subhanallah. 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 And Mawasab, you've mentioned this very beautiful incident of the king and the dream that he had. You know, another beautiful example is that when it comes to children as well, that, you know, at times you get some children who may draw on the wall with their crayon or with their pen or whatever it may be. And they're drawing on the wall. And the parent will come and say, do not do that. Don't do that. Stop. Don't do that. The child, he's a child at the end of the day. He may stop just for that moment and then he'll continue afterwards. So likewise, Murasab, the way that a parent can relate to their child in how to stop them from doing that is that instead of telling them to stop doing that right away, they're not going to listen. They will end up being more and more stubborn. But if the parent says to the child in a nice way, in a polite, loving way, that son or daughter, come here, don't do this. You are big now. You're a big girl, you're a big boy. This will now actually make them stop because they don't want to hurt their pride and they don't want to hurt their ego. They wouldn't go back into doing that because now they have the sense of responsibility in them. That, you know what, my Abba or my Ammi, she told me, or my father told me that I mustn't do this. I'm big now. How can I do this? This is what will be going through their minds as well. So even with disciplining children, there's parents also should be cautious in how they use their words instead of shouting and scolding and being all loud, etc. If it's done with wisdom and words articulated in the right way, that will have more impact than the shouting, scolding, and the loudness. So even in this year too, it does hold a lot of impact. And likewise, if you see a student who is weak, as a teacher, instead of telling him you're useless, you're this, you're that, tell him that, you know what, you did great and you have potential in you. The next time, he would do better than what he did the last time. So in all of this, we have discussed so many different angles, so many different aspects. And you do not have to be eloquent to be impactful. All you have to do is just be intentional. And then you would see how change happens. So, Wasab, we just have a few seconds, Wasab. Are there any parting words, words of advice, a few madani pearls from your side before we conclude?
Subhanallah. You know, just one last example. Everything that we utter, it's words.
Mm-hmm.
And the best of words is when we make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And how it positively impacts us.
Right.
We start to feel rejuvenated, spiritually uplifted. Subhanallah. And when we meet each other, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also encouraged us to still make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in our meeting and greeting. Assalamu alaikum. Assalam, meaning peace be upon you. Assalam is also one of the divine attributes of Allah
subhanallah.
What if one has the intention? I'm making salam to somebody, and I'm also making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, we can get this concept from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came and conveyed the salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she said, subhanallah, Jibreel alayhi salam, Allahu salam. Subhanallah, Allah azza wa jal himself is a salam, and Jibreel, peace be upon him. And then we ask each other, how are you? And in response, we again prophetic teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say, Alhamdulillah. That is another way of making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that all angle also must be taken into consideration. That, you know, and we are encouraged from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to always, no matter which gathering, like this is a gathering, we two of us are here, right? We're not alone sitting here. So every gathering that we may have, it mustn't be devoid of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Definitely.
Two people meeting, at least say something that is indicative of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make it part of our conversation. And there will be barakah in it.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Jazakallah wa'asab for those madani pearls and for those inspiring words. Allah ta'ala bless you and your family wa'asab. Well, the viewers of Madani Channel, remember that words are free, but they are never cheap. So use them wisely, use them with wisdom. Until next time, stay wise, stay kind, and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom. Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.